I'm Casey Stephanie, and I'm here interviewing Jane from Sistering on CHRY-FM, York University radio station. And Sistering is a women's agency serving homeless, marginalized, and low-income women in Toronto. Would you please introduce yourself and tell our listeners about your role at Sistering?
Happy to. Thank you, Casey Stephanie. My name is Jane Calley, and I'm the Director of Programs and Advocacy here at Sistering, where we serve on average up to 200 women a day. And my role also involves advocacy to try to change the social conditions that cause poverty and marginalize women from accessing services. Most recently, I've been involved in a really exciting coalition called the Fair Fare Coalition, which is looking specifically at how the high cost of travel in the city impacts people who are living on a low income.
There are a lot of myths around the causes of poverty and homelessness that discount the social conditions of women. Can you share with us some reasons why women continue to face increasing homelessness and poverty?
Yes, absolutely. I think there are a myriad of issues that affect women's lives, and also, in addition to that, we still don't have the appropriate services to respond to the growing numbers of women who are experiencing poverty. When we talk to the women that come to Sistering, they're here because of various reasons. There is not one particular cause. Some women are new to Canada and move to the country with high expectations of work and supports and find out that there actually are no jobs available. Other women, we're seeing women who are very new to accessing services, and I believe that they are part of what we're seeing as the impact of the recession. And women that are balancing a number of jobs and still cannot afford their rent and food. So we're seeing a lot of women who are juggling jobs, sometimes losing jobs, and forced to access our services mostly initially for food, and again because of the high cost of housing. I mean, as we know, the cost of housing in this city is absolutely ridiculous. Most people cannot afford it, and so women are forced to choose between paying their rent and eating, and if they have children, there's additional pressures put on them to support their children, feed their children, and also clothe their children. We hear stories of women who have been injured on their job and consequently lose their employment and are not able to access any insurance or supports after that. We hear stories of women who have experienced violence in their homes and flee their homes and leave with very little and end up with very little resources to rebuild their lives. We do not have the systems in place to actually address the growing cause of poverty. Social assistance is extremely low and is not enough money to pay rent and eat. And we are threatened with continued loss of funding. So the agencies that are here to support women in particular are stretched with our own resources to meet the growing need.
What are some programs and resources Sistering offers?
We have essential services available. We have showers and food, a place to rest. And in addition to that, we have community support workers who will help with housing, who will help with any legal issues, who will assist women with medical issues. There's lots of women who have a difficult time accessing a primary health care doctor. So we also have a doctor on site who's here one afternoon a week. So we have the primary care doctor who's here. We also have a psychiatrist who's here one afternoon a week. And then we have social recreational programs. And we have an opportunity for women to meet other women in the drop-in and socialize and create a sense of community. Poverty, we know, creates isolation. If you do not have money to travel, you do not have money to gather with friends, you do not have money to go out, often you're forced to live a pretty isolated life. So Sistering also offers a community and a supportive place for women to connect with other women. In addition to that, we have two social purpose enterprises. We have a ceramic studio and a sewing studio where we're offering women the opportunity to learn some skills in order to create crafts and art to be able to supplement their income. And that's really, really key because we know that poverty can only be reduced with increased income. So that's a really important service that we have as well.
At Sistering, what does safety or a safe space mean?
We strive to create a safe space at Sistering. What we have to acknowledge is that the world outside of Sistering is not particularly safe, and that people experience sexism, they experience homophobia, they experience transphobia, they experience racism, and all of those issues are often brought into the space. And what that means is that we have a mandate to provide education around unlearning some of those horrible issues of oppression that women have all experienced. So I think education is really key, and also having policies and guidelines that state that we strive to have a safe place where people do not experience discrimination in this space, but still acknowledging that the world around us is not particularly safe, and that we have an extra responsibility to ensure that we're providing that education, and that we are also, staff included, are aware of the issues outside the drop-in and some of those issues that spill into the drop-in. And how do we respond in a respectful, kind, and educational manner? So I think it's ongoing training and learning for everybody in the drop-in, staff and women included, in order to create a place where all women and trans women are welcome.
I agree. What does Sistering do to be a positive environment for trans women?
I think this is ongoing and needed education, and it's about, first of all, educating all staff so that staff are aware of issues of transphobia, and also at the same time educating women, so bringing in people from the community that can do some educational work around that and address the issues of transphobia. And also I think in how the drop-in actually looks, we need to have visible messages welcoming trans women, and we need to have policies and procedures that actually address transphobia so that we have a process to address those discrimination when it occurs. But I think it's ongoing learning. I think it's also really important to consult with trans women and ask what is working and what isn't working, and also address transphobia when it happens. And again, use those moments as teachable moments to unlearn the transphobia and also relearn a new way of being.
How have the most recent cuts to social services impacted the women you meet at Sistering?
Well, I think any cuts to social services and cuts to community services really profoundly affect women who are already struggling to exist and already living well below the poverty line. So, like I said earlier, women are coming to us initially often for food, and we're serving up to 200 women a day a meal. And we've seen those numbers increase over the last couple of years. The numbers have actually doubled in the course of time that I've been here, which is 3 years. So those cuts that happen outside of Sistering really do impact women's lives. And again, it's about being able to afford housing and rent and all the other necessities of life that those of us that have resources and an income often take for granted. And the other concern that we have is the city looking at cuts to services like Sistering. So we are already picking up the pieces of a broken social service system. And if we lose some of our funding, we're going to be really stretched to meet the growing need of women who are experiencing poverty.
Now, you were mentioning you were recently a part of a protest to fight for free transit on heat alert, smog alert, and cold alert days. Can you please tell us more about it?
I'd be happy to. A couple of years ago, when the fares for TTC increased At the same time, Sisterine actually had to reduce the number of tokens we gave out. We no longer had the budget for it because our numbers had doubled. And we made a commitment to women at that time that we needed to fight together to look at a more sustainable solution, which would include a low-income pass for people that are on a fixed income and living in poverty, and also look at free travel on days that people need to get to cooling stations and access help. We know that over 100 people every year die in the city of Toronto because of the heat. And we want to ensure that people who are living in isolation, who are vulnerable, who could be ill, seniors are particularly vulnerable during heat alert days. We want to ensure that those folks can access cooling centers and access services where they are going to get support and be able to be safe. We know a lot of women that we work with live in rooming houses and live in subsidized housing and do not always have air conditioning, and often people don't even have the opportunity to open a window. So we know that they are at risk, and they're actually at risk of death. And I think the city has a responsibility. They do encourage people during the heat alert days to get to cooling centers, and the city has invested in having those cooling centers. But if you do not have the money to get there, you're really stuck. So we're asking that on those days where people are extremely vulnerable, that the city provide free transit on those days so everybody can get to a place that is cool and find some relief from the heat.
How do you envision the anti-poverty movement in Toronto looking like in the next 10 years?
That's a big question. I think given the current political climate, the anti-poverty movement is going to grow because more and more people are going to be affected and find themselves living in poverty. And we're seeing now community groups responding to potential cuts at the city level, and there's been a growing anti-poverty movement that's been responding to the cuts that Mike Harris implemented years ago to social assistance. And I believe that movement is growing, and more people are becoming frustrated with the system, and I think fearful of what the next few years will look like if we continue to chip away at the little resources we currently have to respond. So my hope is that we continue to gather and organize and engage with community that perhaps have not been engaged at a political level, but will start to feel the effects of cuts and want to be active and learn more and participate and make known that there needs to be changes and that government has a responsibility and that we're not looking for that the model that's currently being spoken of will actually increase poverty. So my hope is that people will continue to organize and galvanize and work together to make sure that the system doesn't continue to deteriorate, but that we look at a community response to poverty.
Before we wrap up, can you please tell us where we can find Sisterine and how to get in touch?
We have our main drop-in on Bloor. We're 962 Bloor on the north side, just east of Dovercourt. We are open every day of the year. You can call us at 416-926-9762 if you'd like more information. And we're also happy to accept donations. If there are folks listening that are thinking that they might be able to help women out.
All right. Thank you, Jane. Have an awesome day. Bye now.
Thank you, Casey Stephanie. You too. Bye-bye.